I speak to you in the name of God of Abraham. Amen. Amen. What would you do for the sake of the future? What would you do for the sake of the future? Would you leave Buffalo and come to Tampa? Would you leave Tampa and go to, say, Boston? Would you go at night to the university and take courses for a new career? Would you invest in a startup business? Would you incur debt to educate your children? Would you start a school for girls in Honduras with little money and mostly hope? Would you exhaust your savings to afford fertility treatments? Would you close a dying parish? Would you donate a kidney? What would you do for the sake of the future? On the second Sunday in Lent, the past is securely behind us, and the present surrounds us, and the future lies somewhere beyond our reason and our experience. So the church tells us the story of two men, both of them settled in their lives, well-placed, satisfied, but not finished. You remember Abraham. His family was urban, accustomed to life in the big city, by tradition the maker of gods. They lived in Ur along the great river Euphrates. One day Abraham's father took his two surviving sons and their families and left the city to go to the land of Canaan. Along the way they stopped to rest and never got going again. So Abraham grew older with his wife Sarah in the place of rest on the journey. And there they lived. And despite their passion and their best effort, Abraham and Sarah were childless, and the family seemed to have met its end. Then one day, out of nowhere, came a voice one day. And the voice said to Abraham, "Lech lecha." Now God doesn't speak Hebrew, but that's how it's remembered. The voice, "Lech lecha." Get up and go. Leave everything you know and cherish and go to a place that I will show you. That's all the voice said. Well, it also promised that Abraham would become a great nation, would be blessed. But basically it said, get up and go. To me, there's nothing more startling in all the scriptures than this voice and its gracious command. I am 73 and I have moved 21 times in my life. But all of these displacements had a reason. And to each of them, there was a history. And every time I packed up dishes and books and clothes and furniture and personal belongings and wife and sons and headed across the country, there was some preparation and I knew where I was going. But the voice came to Abraham out of nowhere. Maybe God looked at Abraham and thought, in the words of William Butler Yeats, an aged man is but a paltry thing, a tattered coat upon a stick, unless soul clap its hands and sing. Retirees leave Buffalo for Tampa and reasonably believe that life might be better with more sunshine and less snow. Young college graduates wander from Buffalo and Tampa and Orlando and Pittsburgh to go to, oh, say, Austin or San Francisco or Chicago, imagining exciting careers and lustrous mates and a better life. Worn-out corporate geniuses leave San Jose or Atlanta or Philadelphia to make a new beginning in, let's say, Omaha or Des Moines or Gainesville. Perhaps Abraham's life was worn out and he just needed a new start. We don't know. The 12th chapter of Genesis just begins like out of nowhere with God's voice commanding, inviting, enticing, no, commanding. Lech lecha, get up and go. Was it the rainy season? Was it at night? Was it after a good dinner in the backyard? We don't know. We do know that in Abraham's future, a ruler of his community would go out one night to seek help in fixing his life. The things we know about Abraham, we don't know about Nicodemus. He just appears in the Gospel of John. No ancestors, no family, no wife. Just him, a leader of the Jews. Like Abraham, well settled, perhaps in middle age of life, accustomed to respect and honor, but unsure of what to do for the sake of the future. Nicodemus is just, uneasy, like I get sometimes when I realize how little of my life is left to live. Uneasy like I got when I felt passed over for more important jobs, like not being elected bishop. Uneasy like I get late at night when I worry that maybe the pieces fit but nothing works. So unlike Abraham, who was minding his own business, Nicodemus makes the future his business and presses Jesus against the wall with his questions. Start again, said Jesus. Start again. Be born anew. And that answer made no sense to Nicodemus, who probably thought he had started enough things in his life. The poet Howard Nemiroff captures Nicodemus' anxious and frustrated reaction to this vision of the future. Start again. Nemiroff wrote, "Rabbi, I said, how is a man born being old? From the torn sea into the world, a man may be forced only the one time to suffer the indignation of the child, his childish distempers and illnesses. I would not, if I could, be born again to suffer the miseries of the child, the perpetual nearness to tears, the book studied through burning eyes, the particular malady of always being ruled to ends he does not see or understand." If you're waiting for the moral of these two stories, please be patient. They are as untidy as a wandering family and the wind at night. In our Christian tradition, as you heard this morning from the letter of Paul to the Romans, Abraham has been lionized because of his trust, his readiness to get up and go when God spoke to him out of nowhere. In Islam, Abraham is honored for his submission to God in all things. And in the Jewish tradition, Abraham is the flawed but majestic partner with God in bringing blessing to the world. But still, it is from the discontinuity and barrenness of Abraham and Sarah that blessing flows. And if you can explain that, then you can tell me how ruined marriages ever recover love, how corrupt hearts ever reclaim their purity, and how any of us can follow the slim hope of the land that I will show you. I think it is sad that Nicodemus' nocturnal encounter with Jesus has been made by some into the template of salvation and the logarithm of conversion. Born again, you hear all the time, born again has become the measure of souls. Even Nicodemus goes away with more questions than answers. How can these things be? He says. We know more about Abraham's future than that of Nicodemus. The rest of the book of Genesis narrates the erratic and dysfunctional story of Abraham's offspring. Nicodemus just slightly appears again later in John's gospel. And the tradition has wanted to believe that he believed and that he found a new birth that was holy and not humiliating. But we are left with the same question. What would you do for the sake of the future? There are two among us, Miles and Parker Cole, who are going to be baptized at the great vigil of Easter, baptized for the sake of the future, and their passage through the Jordan will cause the wind to stir and the land to beckon. Lech Lecha. Listen carefully at their baptism. If you hear those words, you may also hear the sound of suitcases packing or water breaking. Someone is leaving home. Someone is being born. Perhaps it is you. Amen.